enjoying a little vacation with her husband in California. And she'll be gone for a couple of weeks, this last week. So I drew the short straw today. And welcome to those people who are online. And my name is Dean Knauer, and I'm the layperson for today. Our announcements, there will be no council meeting today because we may have only had one person show up. So most people are out of town, so I'm glad to see some people did show up for the service and our visitors also. On Monday, we have a food pantry with Greg Klinger, Renee Tiller, and Rebecca Hitzker. Tuesday, 10 a.m., Bible study, The Purpose-Driven Life. The Holy Spirit calls us together as people of God. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. I confess to God Almighty,
before the whole congregation of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned my own fault in thought, word, and deed. I pray, God Almighty, that have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Almighty and merciful God, grant your healing, pardon, and forgiveness of all existence. Amen.
Gathering song, God of grace and God of glory, page 7.
Morning.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Genesis 3, 8 through 15. Immediately after Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, they hide from God. Neither takes responsibility for their sin. Instead, blaming each other, the snake, and even God. The curse on the snake was understood as a Masonic prophecy by the early church, who associated Eve's offspring with Christ. A reading from Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 130 responsibly. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch in the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians 4, 13, 5, 1. Life in the present is transitory and cannot compare with the eternal home God has prepared for us. So we do not despair, no matter what life might bring, because we know that as God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises to bring us into eternal life. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Pastor Ann has pre-recorded the Holy Gospel and her sermon.
Our gospel lesson is Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Jesus and his disciples entered the house, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On June 16, 1858, more than 1,000 delegates met in the Springfield, Illinois State House for the Republican State Convention. At 5 p.m., they chose Abraham Lincoln as their candidate for the U.S. Senate to run against Democrat Stephen A. Douglas. At 8 p.m., Lincoln delivered an address to his Republican colleagues in the Hall of Representatives, where he spoke out against the institution of slavery. Before he delivered the speech, he shared it with his law partner, William H. Herndon, who thought it was morally courageous but politically incorrect and urged him to change it. Lincoln refused. In the speech, Lincoln said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall. But I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other." Lincoln referred to the house divided language this way: "The proposition is indisputably true. I want to use some universally known figure expressed in simple language as universally known, that it may strike home to the minds of men in order to rouse them to the peril of the times."
Should we continue on with the service, Scott? Then I'm not sure where that cutoff was.
There's last thing I heard.
start with, had Lincoln listened to those who urged him to change his speech and found it politically incorrect, how would U.S. history have altered it? If Lincoln had won the Senate seat, would he have run for presidency? If Lincoln had not become president, what would the United States look like now? Slave or free? No longer united. A house divided against itself indeed cannot stand. In this week's gospel lesson, we continue to read the third chapter of Mark. Jesus has been preaching, teaching, calling his disciples, casting out demons and healing. In the last week's lesson, he proclaimed himself the Lord of the Sabbath after being accused of violating Sabbath restrictions by allowing his disciples to pluck grain as they walked through the field and by healing a man with a withered hand. He has shown the Sabbath to be a day of restoration of mind, body, and spirit. Jesus' fame has been spreading. Crowds have been looking to him for healing. A leper has spread the word about the way Jesus healed him, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly. The crowds recognize that there is something special about Jesus, something holy. They won't even allow him to stop and eat. So great is their need for what he has offered. He is in danger of being crushed by their numbers. Jesus has returned home and the crowds have followed him. You would think that people in his home territory would be proud of Jesus and what he is accomplishing, but they are not. Word is sent to Mary to come and get her boy because he has gone out of his mind. People say that he is driving out demons because he is possessed by a demon. I have to wonder how Mary felt as she headed out to see what was going on with her son. How she must have felt when she saw the large number of strangers reaching out to Jesus for healing, and when she heard the mumblings of her friends and neighbors as they spoke out against him. How must she have felt as a family member told her that Jesus must be stopped, believing the voices of those who said Jesus was out of his mind and a demon possessed? The very people who knew Jesus best have difficulty distinguishing between good and evil. The same problem experienced by the religious leaders in last week's lesson. The people who should have been supporting him, who should have recognized where Jesus' power came from, were the ones who spoke out most vociferously against him. Jesus speaks in intertwined parables, using language that both enlightens and confuses. When confronted with the accusation that he is casting out demons because he is possessed by one, he responds that a house divided cannot stand, that Satan cannot cast out Satan. He is telling them that they have done it all wrong, that his ability to cast out demons does not show that he is in the league with evil powers, but instead that he has authority over them. He talks about how one cannot enter and plunder a strong man's house without binding up the strong man, meaning that if Satan is the owner of a house, Jesus must tie him up to plunder that house, rescue and restore those being held captive there that the devil has claimed for his own. Jesus is the enemy of Satan, not a collaborator with him. Jesus is the reason why Satan's rule over the earth has come to an end. Jesus asserts that when those who oppose him call the spirit at work within him unclean, they are blaspheming against God's own Holy Spirit. Jesus is possessed, yes, by the Holy Spirit. You can hear the people tell Jesus, as they would later tell Lincoln, that he needs to change his speech, that he's morally courageous but politically incorrect, that it will give ammunition to his enemies. The crowds that follow Jesus, that sit at his feet as he teaches, that press him seeking healing, they want him to continue what he is doing. They have become insiders in the house of God. Yet Jesus' family wants him to stop what he is doing because of what people are saying, because his behavior is being perceived in a negative way by the religious leaders. We see them literally on the outside of the house where Jesus is, paralleling the message of the parable Jesus is using. The crowd that is gathered around him has come in faith and hope, while his own family and the religious leaders have come in judgment and condemnation. When Jesus is told that his family has come, he looks around at those gathered and asks who his family really is, then states that those who follow him are his mother and brother and sister, that those who follow him are part of the household that he has established. The true members of his family are those who do not stand in his way, but instead are obedient to the will of God. To paraphrase Lincoln's House Divided speech at the end of the time, the world will become all one thing, either enslaved in sin or freed in Christ. It must become all one thing or all the other. I believe that Jesus' relatives and the religious leaders wanted to do God's will. Their problem is how they defined the will of God, how they defined the boundaries of God's kingdom, how they expected God and God's will to fit within their own beliefs. I believe that they wanted to be holy, that they did not want to stand in the way of God, that they thought they were doing the will of God. I also believe they were mistaken. There are two households, the household of God and the household of Satan. You cannot live in both. Those households cannot be under one roof. One is clean, holy, and good. The other is unclean, demonic, and evil. If you are part of the household of God, you are part of the family of faith, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It is not a house that can be overthrown by the forces of evil. The house that the Lord has built will stand, and we must not stand in his way. In Meditations of the Heart, Baptist minister and civil rights leader Howard Thurman wrote a prayer about wanting to be holy. Let me share part of it and ask that we use it as our prayer for today. In my heart, above all else, let thy love and integrity envelop me. Until my love is perfected and the last vestige of my desiring is no longer in conflict with thy spirit. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart.
Thank you.
Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. Believe in God.
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Come before the triune God, pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world.
You reawaken our hearts to your mercy. We give you thanks for renewers of the church in every age. Enliven the creativity and persistence of all seeking to transform the church into a closer vision of your beloved community. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Your presence is revealed in the shade of trees, growth of seeds into flowers, and in the blessing of plants granting food in their right season. Heal lands scarred by deforestation, pollution, or infestation. Teach us to cultivate the earth with respect and reverence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Our nations and communities are divided, O God. Teach us again to listen with curiosity and mercy, even in disagreement. Grant us the humility to acknowledge our hardness of heart and make us bold in modeling cooperation for the sake of the common good. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Hear the prayers of all who cry out to you from the depths of fear, despair, or hopelessness. With haste, rescue victims of trafficking, exploitation, and abuse, and bless organizations and individuals who work on their behalf. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Grant wisdom and clarity to all who are in seasons of discernment and transition. High school graduates preparing for first jobs or new educational journeys, those who are shifting careers, and those who are navigating changes in their relationships. Accompany them with your peace, merciful God. Receive our prayer.
Praise to you for our ancestors in faith who believed, spoke, and lived in you. Give us confidence that as Jesus was raised, so we too will be raised with all the saints into your everlasting presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share the peace as you see fit. Thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
prayer. Let us pray.
Let us praise you, O God, Maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please join me in saying the Lord. Blesses us and sends us in mission to the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our sending song today is On Our Way, Rejoicing, page 537.
Okay.